are listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is your wallet's favorite show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory will stop by shortly. This is a show where in the next hour, we're going to make you better with money. You can turn the channel if you want, but you're going to miss an opportunity to make yourself better, to learn something that will make you better with money. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, well, that's what this show is all about. Call Gregory, 504-260-0995. But really, all the cool kids these days are giving us a call or sending us a text from the Winning It Life app. So that's what everything is now. If you don't have an app, you're a nobody. Man, a lot going on in the financial world today. We'll be doing the numbers coming up, I believe, in the second segment if everything goes according to plan. And if you want to follow along on the exact same charts and graphs, winningitlife.com or the Winning It Life app. I'll do a little preview here, though. A lot of red. This is a pretty red day, and I don't mean communism, and I don't mean for we're trying to raise money or for some disease awareness. It not happy campers on Wall Street. Yeah, Blake Shelton just nailed it. Do that again. What'd you say? Redneck. Yeah, we might have to have Blake Shelton do a little more analysis when we get to the number segment because it was brutal. But on Saturday's show, Gregory did an IRA rollover guide. And this is one of these things where it's like, man, we need to do this more often because we get questions like this all the time. And this is one of the little areas that we own on this show. There is no other, name it. Name another show where you can call or they're telling you about the rules for if you take money out of your IRA. You have 60 days to either put it back in the same IRA or put it in another IRA. But there's all kinds of little tricks and tips and rules that go with it. And Gregory spelled it out for you on Saturday's show. You can either go check it out at the podcast or you can just say right here, I'll play it for you.
Hey, rollover guides. You know, it's a number of things. What we're talking about is the 60-day rollover rule. And I think it's rude to do a 60-day rollover because it exposes you to a number of problems. What a 60-day rollover means, you've taken money out of your IRA type of account. It could be a traditional IRA, could be a Roth IRA, but it's a qualified account. You've taken a distribution out to yourself. Maybe you were doing so to move it to someplace else, but you took the money out. The check was made to you. You have that to not count as a distribution. You have 60 days to put that money back in another IRA account. If you miss that, taxes are going to be due on that distribution. If you put it back in late and don't reverse the error in time by taking it back out, you have a 6% penalty on that as well. What's the better way to do that? What should we encourage you to do is do a custodian to custodian transfer. If you're wanting to move it to another IRA, move it to another IRA. Here's where, and do people still do that? Yeah. I'm not sure why they do that in that case. And maybe they're a bit confused, but we would rather you do it custodian to custodian, IRA to IRA or Roth IRA to Roth IRA in that case. Now you could actually take out one part and distribute to multiple others, long as it all gets done within that 60-day period. And once per year, IRA rollover rules. See, this is once per year, meaning 365 days, not calendar year. It's once per year aggregate of all of your accounts, not the household accounts. But James, if you're doing that, it's all of your IRA accounts. If your wife does that, it's aggregate of her accounts once per 365 days.
So each entity gets to do it. Makes sense to me. But IRA to IRA, when do we see this? Because we've seen people do this before, but you kind of brought up something I never thought about. I don't understand why some people would want to do this, but there's got to be some good reason out there.
Well, sometimes they're making use of the money. They're supposed to tell us when they're asking for that, but they take out $10,000. They need it for something. They say, I'm going to get it back in within 60 days. As long as you get it back in, you're fine. It's the taking longer than 60 days or forgetting about it, losing track of time. Oh, darn, I forgot. I went on vacation. I'm in France and I forgot to put that money back. I kind of have a problem. Now, here's something interesting, and this will be the last part I cover on this today, but we're going to talk more about it on next Saturday's show again. A spouse beneficiary can roll over or transfer her deceased spouse retirement plan into her own IRA. This is an option that many spouse beneficiaries choose because they avoid RMDs, required minimum distributions, until they become of that age. The IRS has never issued any guidance specifically stating that the once per rule rollover applies to spousal 60-day rollovers. But the IRS, there's a PRLR ruling that takes position on this, and you should take note and process spousal rollovers by doing trustee-to-trustee transfers from deceased spouse's IRA to an IRA in the same name. So even though they're not clear, make sure you do it custodian to custodian. Don't take possession of this money. Sometimes you have the insurance only financial people wanting at you to put money, say, into an annuity. They don't. And if they're not a licensed securities person, they can't handle that transaction coming from your brokerage firm. So what they're saying is, just make the check out to yourself and we'll set it up and send it off in an IRA. That's one reason 60-day rollovers do it, because they're not complete fiduciaries handling all aspects of their financial services. And that creates exposure right there. So one of the questions, if they've done that way where they've cashed an IRA and bring in a check, or they're talking about doing it, you have to clarify. When was the last time you did this? Did you take any distribution in the last 365 days and put it back? See, you see how many things can come up, and what if they forget? What if they're off by a week or two or a month? Custodian to custodian event. So if you have any questions about that, you can call us on the show. You can call me at my day job.
That number for the show, 504-260-0995. Perry, New Orleans, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Perry?
Maintaining rather large sums of cash in IRAs, following the principle that perhaps upon a drawback in the S&P 500, you might want some ammunition to invest. The problem is that the brokerage house where I maintain my accounts pays virtually nothing for cash that sits in accounts. And as rates begin to increase, my question is, there's some way that I can place that cash in some other fund that's outside of the brokerage house, but still maintain it with an IRA where I can generate some revenue on what right now is virtually idle cash.
So in that case, when that brokerage firm is ready to start buying, there won't be cash there to buy if you move it away to another fund within.
Well, it might be for the brokerage house, but my question is, can I find some vehicle where I could then make a decision, pull it out, and invest it immediately in the stock? They don't make all my stock decisions for me. I just think with rates going up, it seems like brokerage houses are making absolutely no effort to pay any kind of interest on existing cash accounts.
Yeah, there is a lag on the right now savings or money market, being we were looking at we're still under 3%, but above 2.9 on the 10-year treasury. And that sure isn't connecting to what you're getting in your money markets or savings, just core savings at the bank is relatively not much. But here's my take on that. If you're in equities and money's placed to go to work in equities, then if it's setting in cash there, that is its purpose, to be ready to buy something that is expected to go up in value. If you are the one that's in, what it sounds like is you want to be fully invested, then how I look at that is probably you should be in a ETF sector type fund or index fund or something, and have yourself fully invested if that's what you're asking for, because otherwise it sounds like you're dealing with somebody that has a mix of equities and holding cash, because it's not favorable to get fully invested. I myself, as a money manager, will not just go buy for the sake of buying. But like our balanced income or ETF sector, those are more fully invested, but not necessarily at all times, or depending about the timing of the client coming over. But if the client moves the cash away, then actually we've distorted our account because of the levels that we were buying at were based upon that whole value. So if you pulled away half, say if it was 50% invested and you pulled away half the cash, we are probably too heavy in those selections because we were basing it upon 100,000 of investable assets versus 50,000. So we have twice as much as we want in those positions, which might cause us to rebalance and shift some to cash. If you're wanting the money to be in money market or bond-like returns or stuff like that, then that's where that money needs to be invested there. It sounds like you need to have more communication with who's handling your account to make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah, my instructions to them are pretty clear. I just feel the market's overvalued anytime I see 16 or 17 times forward earnings. And my instructions are to pull the trigger when it drops to a more reasonable amount of, say, 13 or 14 to 1. And I'm okay sitting on the cash until that tragic sort of event occurs. It just seems like I don't want to be called greedy, but it begins to cost me more and more money as rates go up.
Now, it's not really costing you that much, and it's called patience, because what you're assigned them to do is wait for the opportunity. And that's why when somebody moves their money, I'm not going to go, if we're putting them in three strategies, I'm not going to go buy them 90 positions next week just because that is an equities position. We're wanting to buy at discount, so we're waiting for the discounts to happen. It doesn't have to be an overall market situation. It could be a particular security that dropped in value for whatever reason. And you remember, if you start looking at the movement and values of securities and the sectors, there is a rotation. It's just like the clothes in the dryer spinning around. There is a rotation, and opportunities are going to come around. And if you do not have that cash there, you can't buy that opportunity. And if you have it in something else, then we've got to sell that to move it over, and we could miss that window. Just have a little bit of patience. It's coming your way.
You just have to realize that the older we get, the less patient some of us.
That's right.
I know what you mean. I feel that way at times too.
All right. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Yeah, I'm Gregory. Welcome to the show and welcome back. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. We get so many people thanking us for what we do, appreciating the content. And, you know, maybe I don't thank you enough for coming back and listening like you do. You add value to us as well, especially with the calls. That contributes awesome content. And you know what? When one person calls and asks a question, there's probably a 1,000 wanting to ask it. 504. I'll start again. If you're ready. 504-260-0995. Utilize the Winning at Life app. Simple download. One-time login. Winning at Life at your app store. Join us.
All right. Big financial story of the day.
Can I? Guess where you're going with this?
Sure.
We didn't talk about it.
No, we didn't talk about it.
Supreme Court decision.
That's it. We know each other so well.
So yeah. The free ride for the internet is now officially over.
I kind of like the argument that it's not the free ride for the internet that's over. It's the Supreme Court didn't just tax the internet, and it didn't just add a tax to businesses. It prevents the consumer from escaping the taxes, because technically that's our tax. And if they don't collect it, the onus is on us to file that with our taxes.
Tell them I owe you some money.
And I have never done that in the history of taxes.
That's like donating to the treasury. I haven't met anybody. And it's just like some of those people out there, and I won't classify them, but the rich will say, oh, we should pay more. Well, I've not seen one show their form for donating, you know, another $100 million.
Yeah, they always mean money. You should pay more. When they say I should pay more, they mean you should pay more. I should pay more. You know, knock yourself out.
So self-reporting, they know that doesn't work. But if people don't understand, the internet was kind of given a pass because struggling back in the day, it wasn't going to do much business. And they wanted to get retail going, some incentive for using it, for people buying. It gave them a competitive edge that obviously they no longer need. Can I compare that to something else?
Please.
It's called China. Some of the European countries as well, because when we were helping them rebuild after World War II, we...
Oh, you know, I see. Yeah, made some favorable trade deals.
You know, where you think of that, what's this thing about us? They charge us? Yeah. We pay a lot of tariffs on the other side to protect their industries. And China used to be a third world country. So they were given a lot of advantages. Okay, I'd say they're not a third world economy. They're number two in the world, right?
Right.
Okay. And of course, we're number one. I think the time for them getting a pass and able to tariff and nobody tariff them, you know, they're going to have to eliminate that stuff. And we have true free trade is what we're going to. And that's what this is about. Well, the internet companies are going to collect taxes just like when you go down the street to your favorite department store, grocery store, thrift shop, whatever, you're being taxed. So any shopping you're doing online is going to be taxed as well. And I think that there was a little bit more coverage in the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah. And in this one, it overturns previous Supreme Court decisions, which makes it a mess. And that's the problem with legislating from the bench is the law is not really set. It's just waiting on the next decision. You know, part of this is Congress not picking up the ball and running with it and relying on the
courts. No surprise there.
None at all. None at all. But you remember, what was it, 2-3 months ago when that android Zuckerberg went in front of Congress? I mean, he looked like an android. And we were faced with the specter of how little the people in the Senate and the House of Representatives know about how the internet works or how technology works, how disconnected they are from technology. Well, imagine the people that were making the laws and making the decisions on about how this should be governed in the mid-90s. Yeah, they knew even less. They were befuddled by a speak and spell back then, and those were the people who made these laws.
Well, when you think about it, it's like, yeah, I don't have to worry about collecting the tax. Because, look, it's not cheap to do so anyhow. It costs money. It has to be factored in because you have to have software to figure it. You have to keep up with it. You have to have bean counters count it. You have forms to file, and you have to write checks to the government.
God forbid if you get audited.
And you better not be cheating on it.
All right. So here's a couple of key points. In all 45 states with a statewide sales tax, residents owe the tax on the purchases they make. It used to not be required for online retailers only to not collect that tax. You would just do it on your own when you filed your taxes at the end of the year. But there's also another little wrinkle that overlaps with the Winning at Life Nation. There's three states, Idaho, Iowa, and Mississippi, where local taxes are only owed at the point of sale. So while the shoppers there are going to have to pay state taxes on untaxed online sales, they may still legally avoid the local sales taxes that go with that. And I don't know how it breaks down, but I know like in New Orleans where I live, like 4% of the taxes are state and 4.75 are local. It's a pretty even split right there. I don't think that's what it is in Mississippi, but you wouldn't have to pay all of that in Mississippi because of this local provision. Although I have a feeling the guys in Jackson may do something about that because they would end up with more money as a result of fixing that little loophole. But for right now, Mississippi, you still are holding on to a loophole. But it's gotten so big, you can say that it was putting brick and mortar retailers at an unfair disadvantage. And so that ought to shore that up just a little bit. But I think people may be putting a little too much stock into that because Gregory, now that they're collecting the taxes at the point of sale, is it going to change your online buying habits one whit? Are you even going to think about it for 5 seconds? Because I don't see this factoring into whether or not to go to Amazon or Walmart.
Look, for some people, it could be. It could be that difference. But here's the convenience. Okay, let's say, look, say the price is a little bit less. Part of the advantage, it means a larger discount because you weren't having to pay the tax with the purchase. So that created a separation in price. And then you're factoring in the shipping, which bumps it up. So you can kind of say, well, that almost like washes with the tax there. And we were more so shopping in the past like that, where now I look at it as the convenience factor. You know, I might would order something from, say, walmart.com, but I know what I'm definitely not doing is walking into that 60 acres there. And then of course, Amazon doesn't have a store, but it's become more the convenience. We've been doing this for years now. So that's part of what's ingrained. So this shift, that they accomplish what they wanted. People utilize and companies utilize online. And it's not like, you know, if Macy's has a store in the state you're in and you order online, you're paying, they're picking up, they're collecting the sales tax. So it has become more widespread, but now it's like, yeah, the doors are pulled back. Everybody doing online business is going to collect taxes and pay their state. And no, it's the simple answer. No, it's not affecting me. It's the convenience now. I can have it here in 3 days and I don't have time to go to the store.
Yeah. Amen. That's where I'm at. Same thing right here. All right, so another big piece of news. A federal judge in New York rules the structure of the CFPB, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. He says it may be unconstitutional, which means that they're either going to eliminate that or what's probably more the case is they'll restructure it. This has been such a weird little agency to begin with because it's not funded by the budget. It's funded by the Federal Reserve. And they're not, there's no oversight.
Is that the key right there? But it was an Obama administration creation, which was kind of biased under that. And management was changed out to eliminate that. And then the new chief of that department come in and said, you know what? We're doing fine. We don't need any of the government's money to fund this office. Is that what kind of causes this? Because maybe they should take, and that other money they said that we'll live off of should go into the treasury. Is that what would fix it?
I don't know how that works.
Because it's kind of like the government has a business now that runs itself. And does it have excess revenues?
See, it does that. It does that in other situations. Fannie and Freddie come to mind. They're a government-sponsored entity, a GSE, but they're their own business. In fact, don't they even sell shares? Can't you like be a shareholder in Fannie and Freddie?
Yeah, but Fannie and Freddie and Fannie, they're not out there checking on all the mortgages businesses, auditing them, fining them, where this organization is kind of feels like them, but they're a supervisory type firm.
Right. They don't actually provide a service for their money. They just run around and fine people and collect it.
Yeah.
It's there's a couple of weird
things. It shouldn't exist at all.
Oh, I totally agree. We should not have extra governmental agencies with governmental powers.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste. And I heard that Trump's also looking at combining some government agencies that, like, we don't need all this bureaucracy. Imagine that, dialing government back.
This is great stuff. This is what we've been asking them to do. You know, we have like a U.S. Marine Service and then a U.S. Parks and Wildlife Service or a fishery service. We have like two things that have fish hatcheries in them. And that was just one of the examples I heard today.
Combine them too.
Yeah, exactly. He's looking at combining some of that stuff. So, hey, a lot of positive news today. We'll do the numbers next. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, we'll take you downtown. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. We do this every evening at 7 o'clock. Yes, an hour of live financial talk radio. We talk about those mutual funds. How about Section 7702, tax-free income creation? I did a program for a gentleman today, and I'll share a brief part of that with you. We can talk about Social Security. Gosh, we had some great calls on the show last night. We really do. We do this every evening at 7, live radio. Saturdays, get this. It's huge what we do on Saturday from 10 to 1, 3 hours of taking calls, dishing out tips, information. And we just gave some awesome information out last night. 504-260-0995. Hey, better yet, how about attending my live event? Wine, Wisdom, and Food event. Ruth's Chris, July 10th, 6:30. You need to RSVP. It's going to be a fee to attend. We're going to match it, and we're going to roll that up to a local charity. Do a little photo op, big check. Help out in the communities here. Love doing stuff like that. And you're going to learn some stuff financially, and it's like a tire kicking session. If you like me and the firm, you can call and say, hey, I want to come in and continue the conversation. Or if you ask while you're at the event, we'll let you schedule something. But that, you know, is, and the cool thing is when you come into my office, whether it's through an event or you call up tomorrow and say, yeah, I'd like to get some help, see where I'm at on the course of life and where am I going to end up? You know, and it's just a phone call. You know, the meeting's going to last an hour at max. If you kind of say, oh my gosh, I got to get out of here. You know, it's ending at a certain point because I have somebody else to see. One of my team's going to come in and end the meeting. You know, they'll ask you what you want to do next. You can continue the discussion with another visitor and say, hey, I want to think about it. Thank God I could get out of there. You know, it might be that people don't say that. We're laid back, easy going. We really want to make a difference and help you. And the cool thing about it is, look, if you don't want to change, you just want to keep heading down that path you're on, we're cool with that. But if we can make a difference, then yeah, we want to help you. And all you have to do is ask. The office number to sign up for the event as well as come into the office is 504-832-9200. Or just simply go to gregoryricks.com and you can connect to us through the show app, Winning at Life. There's a place there in the app to hook up with my office as well.
All right. You want to do some numbers?
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment, Winning at Life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at right now. Go to winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. And this is a Blake Shelton day. We hadn't had to do much Blake Shelton as of late, but he stopped by for a little financial analysis. I thought that was cool. Hey, Angie, do you still have the recording when we interviewed Blake Shelton on the indices earlier? That one's still around?
I do. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Red, Nick.
All right, thank you, Blake. Y'all have a good one. Good luck on The Voice this season. The Dow Jones was down 0.8%. S&P was down 0.6%, NASDAQ down 0.9%, and the Russell finally stopped breaking records for a second. It was down 0.5% today. Now, they're going to tell you that this is all about trade wars or something, but come on now. I think we were just sort of due. But yeah, a lot of red out there, Gregory.
It's panic in the short term, and it's going to be success in the long term.
Mania in the long term.
Yeah, and you have, well, you know, this is a trade war. Trade war doesn't work well. Well, that was historicals. Okay, does everything play out the same? You're hanging your hat on how performance was in a certain period.
Well, we've had tariffs for 4 days. Are we really on the collapse?
Let's see. Have we dealt with the likes of China historically?
Right.
And look, and I don't know if you're like doubtful when they talk about, and I don't know, I don't follow all the channels. Sometimes I'll just tune into some of those for a short period of time to see what they're talking about. And it's rarely about business. They're off on some tangent, but with that said, you have talk about where they're stealing our technology, you know, and I talk regularly with a lot of business people and people that work for big companies or clients, and they talk about what's happening, and you get this to where they want to sell this equipment to a Chinese company, and the Chinese company said, yeah, we'll buy it, but first we want to come see your production facility. We want to know how all this works. We need your schematics and stuff. And then, okay, we'll buy it. But what they said, this, and here's what's happening. And this is the only time they're going to buy it, because now they're going to take your equipment, pull it apart, and recreate it over there and compete against you. And sometimes they don't even do the deal like that. They just hack you and steal the information. And this is for real stuff that has to stop. You know, I protect my proprietary information, our systems and stuff that we do. I give out some of the sauce. I don't give it all out. Why? I'd like to stay in business.
Well, a lot of people don't know you have your own system. You're not just plugging it into some spreadsheet on a Google
Or they drive. Might think we're getting all of our data and somebody else is making the decisions for us to win with. No, we do everything in-house. We figured this stuff out.
All real Jedis, and they build their own lightsaber.
Yeah. So that's part of what this is about. And it's not fair for us to be tariffed to sell them cars, but they're not tariffed for us. We're talking about level playing field. And we, to do business, we should not have to give up our sauce ingredients. And it's time to stop. So, yeah, we have a president that's a businessman. We're not doing this anymore. Well, and I applaud him from the business side of it, because, you know, the stories here and what I know, and this is not some secret, but this is what's going on, and it's for real, and it's a problem, and it's going to be our doom if we keep going this way.
And if he can stop that, that would be good for us, be good for our companies, but it would really be good for the Chinese people too. Part of the reason the markets were so shook is they're ahead of us by like 12, 13 hours. And so we already had their day's news when we woke up this morning, and there was a tabloid, of course it's government owned by the Chinese Politburo, that said, if Trump doesn't knock off all this tariff stuff, they're going to take action against specifically the components in the Dow, which I'm almost to the point where I just want to stand to the side and say, go ahead, keep on coming.
Yeah. Actually, I've already thought about this even before this threat happened today. And what this is they're the ones worried. It's just like, you know, what Kim Jong used to do. You're like, oh, we're gonna nuke you, and
they're
all
blinking
this,
aren't they? They're blinking.
Yeah. And he was like giving more threats, and when he's like, this is not going well, they're supposed to cave and send me piles of money. And yeah. China knows this thing is going to go bad for them, because we tariff, they tariff, we tariff even more. And what's going to happen is their revenue is about to come to a halt. Let me be clear. A freaking halt is what it's coming to there. And they're going to get crushed, because they really depend on us. Yeah. If somebody's been giving you all this extra money and incentives and the big deals, and they say, you know what, the party's over, we're squaring everything up and leveling the playing field, we're tired of playing your team and giving you a 21-point advantage,
mm-hmm.
and you just kick our butts all the time. No, we're going to start at zero, because you guys are as good as we are. So we're leveling this out. Now let's tee it up and go at it. And that's what this is about. And what's going to happen is they're going to lose. We're more insulated than they are. What are they depending? The rest of the world to buy stuff from them.
Right.
And be able to steal stuff from the rest of the world. Us, we are the technology. We are the manufacturing. We can bring all that back home, put middle America back to work, and crush it.
We'll go teach someone else how to sew our jeans
And I think
together.
North Korea wants to build some stuff.
But look at the companies. What are they going to do? If you put like a 20% on all the Dow components, how are you going to get a computer? Because that's Apple, that's IBM, that's Microsoft, that's 3M, that's Intel. Knock yourself out.
It means Trump is winning. We're winning on this. They're panicking. That's what's going on here.
All right.
When we come back, we're going to finish the numbers.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. See what we can do. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Here's the question. Who needs them more? What I'm talking about is what we went to the break. I'm talking about this tariffs and stuff. We kind of got in the numbers and I took off with it. But who needs who more? What's the deficit?
This is Winning at Life. That's Gregory Ricks. I'm James Parker. Then they definitely need us more.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to win.
If we play this right, we should win.
We don't need them and we can go elsewhere.
Right?
Absolutely. So this is actually laughable. So don't let this shake you up. The tariffs thing, you know, this might play out and get a little bit uglier before it gets better. But if relationships end with China, let's just quit doing business with them altogether is kind of the road I'd like to go down. Like, heck, we don't need you. There's other places that want to build stuff.
India's,
they won't be stealing from us and they won't be tariffing us.
India's got about a billion people living in grinding poverty right now. Sub-Saharan Africa hadn't even been tapped yet. I mean, maybe we'll have to go sponsor a coup, whatever, so we can get a stable government around there. But their day's coming.
Yeah, and Venezuela will, sometime in the future, fix their problems, get oil production back going, have an economy that's thriving, buying new business, and they're going to want business there.
Hey, when that Hugo Chavez guy was elected, it was the most prosperous Latin American country. It was the most prosperous country in the world that's south of the Rio Grande.
And it will happen for them again one day. 10-year treasuries, 2.911%. So we had yield move up a little bit more today. Crude oil moved up as well, $66.41. is what we see the last trade was right. Up. And I'm starting to mention Brent crude because, you know, we had some oil guy the other day kind of say, you know, they kind of look at that. It's $74.04. Gold, yeah, it's still below 1300 an ounce, $1,270.20 an ounce. And silver, $16.34.
Well, gold has been such a consistent loser. I'm looking at the chart here on the short sheet since mid-April.
Calling gold a loser?
Well, yeah, for the last
you
2 months.
You loser?
It's been taking a beating. Yeah, and that's funny you mentioned the Brent because that's something else that came to my mind. If China goes and they start to stick the Dow components, all right, well, you're sticking Exxon and Mobil, so where are you going to get your oil from? You're going to have to pay a premium to get it from the London Exchange, aren't you?
Yeah, that...
real smart.
A good point.
That'll show us, Gregory. That'll put us in our place.
Oh, the other part is to come in and just remember when Marriott and a Chinese company was bidding and Marriott ended up overpaying.
Starwood.
Yeah.
Star something.
And they were because China, and all of a sudden the bidding kept going up. And then I think the Chinese government said, you know, the way you're keep raising the bid, we can't print fast enough. They're playing with monopoly money. And here's the other thing, is just coming in and buying our companies. I'd kind of put a halt to that. I would do what they're doing. Is the pushback is, yeah, we'll let you overpay, but you're never acquiring more than half. You're acquiring less than half of any company you buy that's a U.S.-based company. We don't mind your money, and we'll buy it back for less in the future. That's kind of the deal.
That's reciprocal trade.
Yeah, that's how they do us.
Boy, that's so ugly. It just doesn't sound very nice, does it? We need to get those guys to relax. You know, there is a situation in which we can both benefit at the same time. We don't have to be at each other's throats. And my success isn't your detriment. We can both rise together. All right, so let's go over to the short sheet where you see a lot. It looks bloody over here, Gregory. I mean, this is a lot of red. But the big one is Fiat Chrysler was our big dive today. It was down almost 6%. And that's a company that's, I don't want to say they're a mess, but they have been more stable in the past. And there are doubts about where they're going to be in the future, if they're going to be in the future. Because, you know, we've heard off and on that they're looking for someone to buy them. Okay, well, maybe they're looking at merging with someone else. Or maybe.
Well, you know, it's Fiat Chrysler. And they're also talking about just shutting down Chrysler.
Would they keep Fiat? Is that part of it?
Well, Fiat's the primary company. It's the global company, but they acquired Chrysler for a song back in the Great Recession.
Okay.
There. And there's some probably some good elements, but, you know, overall, they're not winning with it. And they may have made some mistakes, but I remember watching a 60 Minutes part a few years back about the head of Fiat and just kind of talking about their problems and their wins and their margins. And from a business standpoint, they can't mess too many things up. But tell me, go look at the Chrysler company. Other than them putting more horsepower in certain cars, what have they introduced anything over at Dodge, Chrysler?
No,
and think of it. What's new there other than, oh, we got 900 horsepower on a street car.
Right. Like the Viper went away this year even. But I think the only real profitable sector they have, and I haven't checked on this in a while, is Jeep.
Yeah, I would expect that's the part they would keep or could sell off.
That'd be
sad.
You see
Jeeps everywhere, and it just and they just keep rolling. But the Chrysler brand is what which kind of tells you if they've not rolled out new stuff in a while, they're either about to roll it out or they're about to end it. They're not investing.
That'd be so sad if they closed up shop. It, like in the 1950s, we had 100 car companies, and now we can't even have three. There's so many regulations.
Well, we don't. We only have two, really.
I guess so, yeah.
Now, there's a lot of cars being built here in plants, but it's other companies in other countries. But what do we have really here? Major production companies. What? Tesla, but they don't build many cars.
What does that count? That doesn't.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
They don't build enough. So it's General Motors and Ford.
That is it.
Yeah.
Chrysler's just barely hanging
Chrysler
on.
Chrysler is owned by a Fiat, which is not a U.S. company. So do you really consider it a U.S. company anymore?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I guess, good point. I guess we are down to two. Okay, so there was another interesting piece of financial news I think you'd be interested in, Gregory, and definitely the guy listening. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, whose name is curiously missing a vowel, but it's Mnuchin. He said it is yesterday that they're working on new tax forms. They just agreed on a design. It's going to be unveiled next week, but I'm telling you about this early because the rumor is it's supposed to be the size of a postcard.
It's an 8x11 postcard. You know, postcards aren't 3x5. There's lots of different. If you go to the look at the postal code on that, there's different size of postcards.
They don't.
This could be a giant postcard to do your tax return on,
like a poster board.
Yeah.
Well, look, they don't give me the specific size here. They just say it's supposed to be the size of a postcard. But my question is, what point font are they using? Is this in your regular old 12-point font? Is this in the eye-straining 10-point font? Or do we go down to font 0.6 to fit all this in? That's where my suspicions are arising. But we're going to find out. It's supposed to happen next week, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, you have to do that trick with your
phone.
Cell phone, take the picture and blow it up.
Yeah, that's my move.
Actually, yeah, you had showed me that. We were out to dinner. With us and friends, and like, I can't even read this. And you said, hold on, I'll show you how to read the menu. You put your light on and you put it like it's in camera mode, and then you can see the menu in the dark restaurant. Doesn't matter what the font is.
Just a little
make
trick.
Sure we be clear, it was font.
That's a trick I learned in NAM, Gregory. Tell them about your day job.
In NAM, financial advisor, money manager. finder of the place on the path. Yeah. What, where are you on your financial path? What does the destination look at? And one of those cases we talked about today in particular was showing them where they're, what they're going to look like at age 100 financially with reasonable estimates. Real simple. I did it for them in just a couple of minutes. If you would like some guidance, some help regarding that, your risk tolerance, how does it correlate to your assets? Because one of the things at a meeting with a couple today, and when I, at the end of the meeting, I said, when we come back for the next visit, we're going to, in the guided planning system workbook, that's where we're spending time to look at how things are going to look for you the next decade, how the numbers dictate that we're going to manage the portfolio, how are things going to be allocated, what are required minimum distributions going to look like, how does inflation affect your income? You know, and they were like excited about that. And this is something that we can review and make tweaks on all the time. That's going to be the focus of that visit. For you to have an experience like they did, which they love the tax-free income part. Yeah, he was just like blown away when I showed him 7702 today. 504-260-0995 is the radio.
There you go.
But the office, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Thanks for hanging out. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.